All right, we're going to look at being thankful again. And if you can turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It's in the Old Testament. I'll give you a chance to get there. But I want to read to you. We started on this last week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. They're short, and it says this: Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So again, if you don't know what the will of God is, then it's to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and giving thanks in all circumstances. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You can do it, can't you? In the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what God has called us to give thanks in all circumstances. And again, that doesn't mean that all our circumstances are good, but He has that promise that if we will trust in Him, if we'll maintain and develop an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness for our lives, because we trust in God. You know, you can't be grateful and thankful and appreciative if you don't know how to trust in God. And so we have to trust in God. And it's the trusting in God to enable Him, give Him the freedom to turn things around in our lives for our good, because we love Him. Just like the song that we listen to. He's always working it out for our good. In Romans 8:28, it says this: And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Okay, that needs to be settled in our heart and in our minds. So no matter what we're going through, we can know, we can trust God's heart towards us. He's going to work it out for our good. That doesn't mean that good is happening in your life right now, but He is going to turn it around for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And so this is the hope that we have, that we can give thanks when we trust God, when we walk in faith, knowing that God is always with us, never forsaking us. And at times in our lives, we have to be able to give thanks by faith because we don't see the good right now. Okay? But if we'll keep trusting, it'll be coming. And as always, I just want to encourage you, develop that attitude, that mindset of gratefulness and thankfulness when things are going good, when you're not in the fire, when you're not in the storm, when the waters aren't covering you over. Do it when things are going good, so that when those days come, you remember how to do it. You know, Caleb has a friend that's training or going, he's going to be a surgeon and stuff, and he's in his residency. And Caleb was sharing one night how he was at his house and he had his was it his knives in his hands, Caleb? Or just a pencil? And he kept playing with them with his fingers in his hands because he said, we have to do that to get our muscles to respond in the right way all the time. Well, that's what we have to do. Practice when it's going good so that when the tough times come, our natural response is not to get angry with God, not to get angry with the people, but to turn to God and trust Him. Okay? And last week we looked at the word thankful that is most often used in the New Testament is the Greek word charistos. And it comes from the Greek word charis, which is the New Testament word for grace. And I just love that about God, because whatever He asks of us, He equips us to be able to do it. So He gives us the grace to be able to be thankful and grateful. And so charitos includes being thankful, grateful, and appreciative. And we looked at that last week. And I'll summarize it in this statement. It is the expression of a person who is thankful that he has experienced blessings in some form, is grateful toward the person or people who have treated him kindly, and wants to express how appreciative he is for the kindness that was shown. And that's what we need to be, especially towards God. Because as believers, we have everything to be thankful for, to God our Father, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who's always with us. And then we looked at the negative part of this out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and we're not going there. But he describes what's going to take place in the last days and what the attitude is going to be in the last days. And it's not good. And I'm not going to read all of those. But he did say that they were going to be ungrateful. In the last days, people were going to be ungrateful. And as my father-in-law said, they may not be the last days, but they're your last days. And you can see ungratefulness in people's lives today. It's scary. And so we have to caution against that, because when you look at the definition that Paul uses for that word, for being ungrateful, it almost seems as if he's writing to believers. Because here's what it means. It's the same word charistos, but which is thankful and grateful and appreciative, but it has an A in front of it. And that A doesn't just make it an anti, like you're, you know, not grateful. It means more than that. It means that you were once grateful, but now you're not grateful. And as believers, we're the ones who should be the most grateful. You should be, at your work, you should be the most grateful person there. Whew. And being thankful, grateful, and appreciative is a choice that we have to make constantly. And at the beginning, a lot of our times that we make it, we have to make it by faith. Okay? Because we're not feeling it. It's not looking it. But we have to declare it by faith anyways. And the interesting thing is to be ungrateful doesn't take any faith at all. All you have to do is just live. Breathe. And you'll find things to be ungrateful for and unthankful for and unappreciative for. And so Paul was warning us about being ungrateful. And so we have to guard against that. Because we don't want anything to come in our lives to cancel out our attitude of thankfulness. Being ungrateful is a dangerous place to be, especially when it comes towards God. And, you know, a while back I did a little mini-series about being angry towards God, being mad at God. And so, as believers, we have to be very cautious about that, because there's no reason for us to be like that. But it's easy for us to be like that. And even in the song, he's, you know, I was mad at you, okay? But he got over it. Best thing that we can do is know the Word of God, so that when difficult times come, we don't get mad at God. We don't get upset at Him. The interesting thing to me, if you're in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're almost there. God set up times for the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. He set up times. He set up feasts and festivals for them to be thankful, to give them an opportunity to be grateful and to show that. And then David takes it a step further, and that's what we're going to look at here, because David was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean that he was perfect, but we're going to see what David understood was thankfulness. And we're not quite sure where he got it, but I can tell you it was a process in his life, because he saw the faithfulness of God with him when he was taking care of the sheep, when nobody else knew what he was doing and even forgot that he was part of the family. He was faithful to tend to the sheep. And he knew God was with him. And so God set up times to give opportunity for the Israelites to develop an attitude of gratitude. And I want you to know God does the same thing for us. And this is the reason why. Because it's good for us to be grateful and thankful and appreciative. It's good for your body to be like that. David wanted to institute this mindset in the people of Israel as well. If you were in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'll give you the scripture in just a minute. But what we're finding is David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God was, and there was blessings there. They were bringing it back, and they made a new things for it. And back in chapter 13, and then the oxen kind of tripped. And so Uzzah reached out his hand to settle and steady the ark, and he died right away. And the scripture says that David was angry at God for that because he didn't know why. And I think that's part of the reason that David develops this, because he began to see the importance of the presence of God in our lives. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4, it says this is what David was doing. And so David is taking the priesthood and he's starting to do some work in them. And it says this, 1 Chronicles 16:4. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Lord of the before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So he set some of them in order, and all they were to do was to continue to give thanks to the Lord. Whew. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Jump down to verse 8, 1 Chronicles 16:8, and it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." And this is David trying to encourage them. This is his song. "Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works." This is what he's doing. So now he's modeling it. Verse 10, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Have you ever met anybody who's seeking the Lord and they look like they've just sucked on lemon? It's not very appealing. I mean, think about this. Glory in His, verse 10, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Verse 11, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones." This is what we're supposed to be doing. And David started setting this up. Jump down to verse 34, 1 Chronicles 16:34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." I mean, that ought to be our motto. That ought to be what we live by. You should plaster this on your mirror. So in the morning when you're getting ready, or on your refrigerator and you're getting ready to eat, you need to be able to say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Verse 35, "Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations." Okay, so that's a great prayer. But then he says why. This is why David wants it. "That we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise." He's asking God to watch over them, to keep them together, to protect them so that they can give thanks to Your holy name and give glory in Your praise. Verse 36, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praised the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And so I just want to encourage you, that needs to be what we're after in our hearts as well. And again, I just want to encourage you, because I believe David recognized how precious the presence of the Lord was. And so when Uzzah touched the ark and he died, it caught David's attention. He's like, all right, we got to do it the way God wants us to do it. Because they weren't bringing the ark back right. And that was the problem. And so David went and studied to figure out how they're supposed to do this. Then he set it up right. And it took 3 months, because Obed-Edom's place, that's where they let it rest, and he got blessed. And so I believe in that 3 months, God was working with David and giving him that heart to worship him, to honor him, and to honor his presence. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 30, it says this. And again, this is David organizing things with the Levites and the priests. And he said, and they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. So it's not once a week. It's not when you get together on Sunday morning. But we need to do this twice a day. Take your medicine twice a day. Take it in the morning. Take it in the evening. Give thanks to Him. And that was their job. And again, David was a man after God's own heart, and it was a heart of thanksgiving. I want to share with you 7 Hebrew words for worship. And there's more, but you know, we're familiar with these, so I just want to share them with you. And I'm going to give you a quick definition of them and see if you see the main theme in this. All right? And I'm not going to quiz you on it, because it's easy. You're going to get it. Now, whether you do it or not, that's up to you. All right, so the first one is Todah. And it means a thanksgiving choir. Barak, number 2, to kneel, to bow down in thanksgiving. Tehillah, to sing a song of thanksgiving. Halal, to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. And it's where we get the word hallelujah from. So it's okay to be clamorously foolish worshiping Him. All right? Now, you may not be able to do it in public, but you could do it at home. I remember the first time that I learned to raise my hands and dance. I did it at home. And I did it in front of a mirror. It was awkward, but you get over it. Because it's not about you, it's about Him. Number 5, Yada, to give thanks with extended hands. Lamar, number 6, to give thanks with a musical instrument. And number 7, Shabbat, to give thanks in a loud tone. Shout to the Lord. So it's okay to do that. Number 4 is Halah, to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. We get hallelujah. And so these are all about giving thanks, being grateful. And we need to be obedient to His word and have these expressions of worship to Him. And if you don't do it in public, at least do it in private. Okay? We all have different personalities and different things that we like and don't like, but you know, God hasn't given us this to say, well, if this fits your comfort level, you do this. No. He's told us how we're supposed to do it. And I can promise you, if you don't do it in private, you definitely won't do it in public. Okay. Turn with me to Psalm 100, please. You see, we need to have a heart of thanksgiving and gratefulness towards God because of His love and the great salvation we have received from Him. In Psalm 100, we're going to read four of these words, and I'll bring them to you as we read through it. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. And so, let me read it to you and break it down now. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the word todah. Means a thanksgiving choir. And His courts with praise. That word praise is tehillah. Singing praise. Give thanks. That's yadah. Extend your hands to Him. Bless His name, and that's Barak. Bow before Him. So in Psalm 100, verse 4, He gives us four of those seven words. So let me read it to you with those words. Enter into His gates with a thanksgiving choir, and into His courts with singing praises. Extend your hands to Him, and bow before Him. And I just want to encourage you, well, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 17, but I want to encourage you that we have to come to a place where we are not ashamed to worship Him in public, where we are not afraid of worshiping Him, worrying about what others may think about us and how we might look to others. I want to be worshipful to God the way He wants me to, because I want to be a worshiper of God for all He has done for me. Let me repeat that. I want to be a worshiper, or I want to be worshipful to God the way He wants me to. You know, I'm not coming to Him and trying to come up with a new way of how to honor Him and to worship Him and to praise Him and to give Him. I want to do it the way He's prescribed for me to do it. Because I want to be a worshiper of God for all that He has done for me. You see, I believe that because I know what my life would be like without Him. And I am so grateful He provided a Savior for me in Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to walk this life alone. God is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. And He lives inside of me. And so that's enough to be grateful and to be thankful and appreciative. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to read this. And I want to encourage you to read all of chapter 17. We're not going to, but I encourage you to do that sometime this week. We're going to start in verse 11, and you know the story, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of it. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. This is Jesus and His disciples. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And He entered a village. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And first of all, let's just pause there. It says that they stood at a distance. They did that because they were supposed to do that. If they had leprosy, then they couldn't be with the regular people because they thought it was a contagious disease and they were outcast. And so they had to be by themselves at a distance. Okay. When He saw them, verse 14, when He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, now this is the second part of this. They had to be separated. They couldn't be around other people who didn't have leprosy. And then when they got cleaned, when they got healed of that, then they could go to the high priest and they could show themselves to the high priest, and the high priest would declare them healed and clean. So Jesus tells them, they ask for mercy, and so Jesus tells them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. So Jesus was already declaring their healing. All right? All they had to do was start to go, and they did. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. It is. It's a step of faith. And that's something that we have to get as well. There's things that God is going to ask us to do and the promises that He has for us. But we have to take that step of faith first to begin to do what God has called us to do. What if He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest, and they didn't move? They weren't going to get healed. But it's because they obeyed His word that they went. And then they were healed on the way. Jesus knew that that would happen if they would obey Him. What would happen in our lives if we would obey Jesus? If we would obey the Word of God. Verse 15. So they're all cleansed. Then one of them. Everybody say one. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Isn't that awesome? He didn't make it to the high priest. He didn't, or to the priest. He didn't make it there. Wisdom told him, go back to the one that healed you. Because he recognized that it had to be God. So he goes back and he worships the Lord. And it says that praising God with a loud voice. And some of you don't even have a voice during worship. What are you thankful for then? He had a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then it says this. Now he was a Samaritan. Wasn't even supposed to get healed. Wasn't part of the inner crowd of Jesus. Wasn't Jewish. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Leprosy was a disease that would eat at the nerves in the ends of our extremities. And it would eat away, and so they would become numb and they couldn't feel. And again, they thought it was contagious, so they isolated them and they had to live in leper colonies. So if you developed leprosy, you couldn't be with your family anymore. If you got it after you had children, you couldn't go to their high school events. You couldn't go to their sporting or musical events. You are isolated from them. You couldn't hold a job. You couldn't have a career any longer. You could never kiss your wife goodnight. Or if anyone tried to get close to you, you literally had to shout, unclean, unclean. So they knew that they were supposed to stay away. In the 1950s, in a place that was caring for leprosy and the lepers, they were studying the lepers and they noticed that in the morning that the lepers were getting worse and worse, that they were bleeding from their extremities and other parts of their flesh, their hands, their feet. And they couldn't figure out why that was happening. And it was on a continual basis that this was happening. And so, in wisdom, they decided to put a camera on the patients in the night because they couldn't figure out what was happening in the night that was causing this. And when they looked at the camera, what they found were that there were rats coming in. And the rats were eating away at their flesh. And they were sleeping because they couldn't feel it. I say all of that because leprosy wasn't a great thing back then. And yet this one out of 10 came back to thank Jesus. Do you think he understood the cost of what his leprosy was and the thankfulness and the gratefulness and the appreciativeness of being healed of that and then turning and going back to Jesus? I mean, that's an amazing thing here when you put all of this together and you realize this. So think about this for a moment. Was it appropriate for this leper to turn back around and fall down on his face and with a loud voice praise God and give him thanks? Absolutely it was. So if that's true for him, think about this for our lives. So if we had a disease and God healed us, would it be appropriate for us when we come together to express our thanks to God, even with a loud voice or the raising of hands or the clapping of hands? Absolutely it would be. And yet here's the crazy thing. If you're born again, you've been saved of a disease called sin. Where the wages of that sin is death. And we couldn't fix ourselves. There was no way for us to fix our disease and the ramification of our disease. And has God not brought healing for us through Jesus Christ? Yes, He has. And so is it okay to worship Him, to give thanks to Him with a grateful attitude? Of course it is. We ought to be. That should be on our heart all the time. And if we're not worshiping Him, then it's because we forgot what He has done for us. Are we going to be that one or are we going to be the nine? That's a question only we can answer. I, for one, don't want to be one of the nine lepers that didn't come back and give God thanks and worship Him with a loud voice, praising God for His mercies and His grace. And so I want to ask you, will you join me in that? And it begins by giving your life to Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus as your Savior. And if you have never done that, I want to encourage you to do that today. Make the decision to find the peace that has eluded you. And find the peace that only God can give you by receiving of His great salvation that He has provided for us through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, your greatest worship only comes from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Because we know we are loved by God. You see, when we know that we're loved by God, then that's when gratefulness and thankfulness ought to be preeminent in our lives. And I want to worship God out of that kind of a heart, not out of a heart that is seeking to be loved by God, which is what a lot of people do as well. They think that if they worship God, then God will love them. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give you the scripture references. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Mark chapter 1, verse 11, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. All of these record the words that the Father spoke of Jesus at His water baptism. And it's this: "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Okay, He said this. The Father said this without Jesus doing anything for Him. There was not one miracle that had been done right now. And God declared this. Why? Because He's His Son. God's still declaring that over us. If we're born again, He's declaring that over our lives. When God spoke that, God the Father spoke that of Jesus, He did it before Jesus had an opportunity to prove Himself or to earn Himself. He did it because He loved Him. That was it. And can I tell you that God loves us the same way? He loves us. Before we can do anything great for Him, before we can do anything that we think is even good for Him, that we are deserving of His love, before any of that, God already loved us. And He has proven that love for us through Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. And so we don't worship God trying to earn His love. We worship God out of a grateful heart because of His love for us that sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for a disease, a sickness that we could not cure on our own. And if we think that leprosy was so bad that they were isolated from their families, sin is much worse. Because if we don't receive that salvation from Jesus Christ, we're separated from God forever. And forever is a long time. When we truly understand that God loves us because He made us and chose us, and the Scripture is full of that, then we will truly worship God out of a heart of great gratitude, thanking Him for loving us, rather than worshiping Him, trying to get Him to love us. If you'll stand with me, please. Noah, can you put up 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12, please. 1 Chronicles 16, 12. You see, sometimes I think that we don't worship God because we've forgotten. We have forgotten what He's done for us. And David was telling them, in 1 Chronicles 16, 12, remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. I'm telling you, if you keep that before God, or before you, in your mind and in your heart, you will be thankful. You will be grateful. You will be appreciative. And I promise you, if you develop that, you will be a worshiper because you're acknowledging God's love for you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. Thank you for this time together with one another and the privilege and the opportunity to worship you and to be in your presence. And Lord, we also thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that your word gives us. And Lord, we thank you for being able to be changed and transformed. And Father, I pray that you would cause us to be worshipers of you, that we're not ashamed of worshiping you, that we're not worried about what others may think about us. But Lord, may we remember your great love for us with which you loved us, and the proving of that love by sending Jesus Christ to the cross to die for us and to bring healing to us and for us that we could never do on our own. Father, help us to do that and help us to be worshipers of you as we remember your works, your wondrous deeds for us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, be blessed. Have a great week. If you need prayer for any reason, feel free to come up. We'll be delighted to pray with you.